We've already had the birth of Jesus, and so we got it 3 or 4 weeks early, so now you just know what it's all about. Today we're going to talk about, as the screen says, the birth announcement of the Savior. You know, in our day, it's so much different than what it was, obviously, back when Jesus came to earth. Today we have internet, social media, news travels so fast, communication, if there's a war, the news channels are there with their cameras right on the battlefield. It's just absolutely bizarre. You can't do anything without having somebody videotape you. So there's video footage through phones, through doorbell cameras. We've had police come up to our house when something's happened over there at a business, and we noticed you had a doorbell camera. Could you look at your footage and see if you see anybody? It's just the day and age we live in. And all of these social media outlets and news reporters and so forth, they have a target audience. They're absolutely targeting a specific audience for the purpose of getting ratings, for stirring people up, to get more advertisers, to beat the competition, to support a certain agenda, a political philosophy, or other reasons. Now, when Jesus was born, there were no cell phones, there were no TVs, doorbell cameras, internet, and the like. Word traveled, but it traveled much, much more slowly. So God had to get word out according to his design. He wanted to get word out of the birth of his son, Jesus, whom he sent to earth. And Jesus, or God the Father, also had a specific audience that he was targeting. So let's look through this passage and just see. This is one of my favorite passages. It's one of the most favorite scenes that I just love to kind of picture in my mind what it was like out on that hillside that night or that early morning hour when it was dark and then all of a sudden things changed. So first of all, let's look at the birth announcement revealed. God revealed the birth announcement. And we read this passage here. Tim read it for us. It said, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. So in the very same area where Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in that cave or in that stable, whichever it was, he definitely was in a manger. These shepherds were out in the fields doing what shepherds do, watching their flocks, guarding them, protecting them at night. It always reminds me of my college days when I worked at the airport. I loved it when all the mechanics left and all of the office people left and it's pretty much just me there, and the sun went down in Florida, and I loved it. It got so peaceful. The runway lights would come on, and there weren't a lot of buildings around, obviously, because it was an airport, and it just seemed like the stars were just everywhere. One of my favorite times at night. It was so very peaceful, and I kind of picture that's the way it was with these shepherds. You know, the sheep are kind of there grazing, and it's quiet. You might hear a bah every now and then or something like that. And they're just kind of maybe kneeling down on the hillside and just kind of keeping an eye on things, looking for lions and tigers and bears and things like that. And then all of a sudden, things are going to change. And they had no idea, just like Joseph had no idea of the announcement he got. Mary had no idea. Zacharias had no idea. Elizabeth had no idea. All through the Christmas story, God is just showing up, although he's always here and always working, in people's lives, accomplishing his purpose and his plan. And who did God send his birth announcement to? To shepherds. Now, this is amazing. This reveals a great deal about the gospel and about God and his love and his message and his Savior, Jesus, whom he sent. Shepherds in that day were considered the lowest of the lowest. They were considered unclean because they couldn't keep a lot of the ceremonial laws of the Jewish laws that God gave. They were always out on the field. They were always keeping watch over their flock and protecting them. I'm sure they also broke many of the man-made laws that the religious leaders put in place, which they never should have, but they did. One author said that they were considered liars, outcasts, and thieves. And their testimony was not even allowed in a courtroom because that's how they were viewed. Don't bring a shepherd in here because we're just going to believe that he's lying. Have you ever known somebody who was a liar and everything they said, your brain's going, yeah, right, yeah, right, yeah, right, yeah, right. So these shepherds, they were considered low. And who did God send the birth announcement to? The lowest of the low. Wouldn't you think God would send the birth announcement to other kings? I mean, a king was being born, to princes and to mayors and to leaders of countries and nations. The true king is born. No. He sent the birth announcement to these lowly outcasts. And in verse 9, something suddenly happened. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. I mean, it's dark, it's peaceful, and all of a sudden, it's nothing but a bright light. I always pictured the light up in the sky, but I think the light was more upon the angel and down on the ground with them. You ever seen war movies where they, I don't know what it is, but they throw something in the air, and when it explodes, it makes the, if it's night, it makes it bright. And they can see it, the enemy. So it's dark, and you know they're walking up like this with their guns, and all of a sudden when that thing goes off, you can actually see all the enemy there, and shoot. It's like day now. Here in the middle of the night, it's now bright day because of the glory of God shining upon this angel that came to these lowly shepherds. Now, remember we've been changing our manger scenes? And I told you that the wise men, you need to remove them from the manger scene because they didn't get there till a couple years later probably. And you need to take your wise men and put them all the way down the hall. Okay, and then put a little bitty light in front of them because that's what they're following. Now, the shepherds we always put in the manger scene too, which they were there, but I think it would be better to maybe in the corner of your living room to build you out of paper mache some hills and paint it brown and green, put some grass for your sheep, get you some sheep and get you some shepherds and put them on top of that hill over there, away from the manger scene. But then I want you to go to Lowe's or Home Depot or Ace Hardware, wherever you go, and buy the biggest, brightest floodlight you can buy. And plug that sucker in, hang it from the wall, drill a screw into your wall and hang it there. And I want you to get up like 2 or 3 in the morning and then click that light on and it just floods out the dark and these shepherds on your little manger scene up there, your manger scene plus, are just glowing. And then I want you to take those little shepherds, little dolls, whatever you call them, and walk them to the manger scene. Because that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. Now, if you don't want to go to all that trouble, just pretend like they already arrived, okay? If you want to be boring, you can do that. But I prefer the official way of doing it. And over in the Christmas story, not only do we see God suddenly doing things, we see everybody's afraid. Joseph's afraid, Mary's afraid, Zacharias was afraid. These shepherds are afraid. In fact, in verse 9 it says, they were filled with not just fear, but great fear. And it's that Greek word we've looked at in these passages, megas, mega fear. Just like Mary wanted to mega praise God. These shepherds, now who were shepherds? You remember what David said that he did when he was a shepherd? When King Saul gave him his armor and he said, this doesn't fit, I don't need it. You can't go against Goliath. Remember what David said? Hold the phone here, Saul. I've killed a bear and a lion, and this big giant is no different. So shepherds were not wimps. They were tough, rugged men. And they fought off bears and coyotes and hyenas and tigers. And yet they are megas. Phobia, great fear. I mean, wouldn't this startle you? This week I walked into the crematory and forgot to turn the alarm off. Never ever done that before. I just walked straight in to do my deal, and all of a sudden that loud thing went off, and I about jumped out of my pants. And my first thought was, is the crematory blowing up? Because then I went, oh, dummy, you didn't turn the alarm off. But I was like, oh, what in the world? It just startled me for a second. Picture these men out there, and all of a sudden it's daytime, and there is a figure before them, God's angel. And what does the angel say? It's what he said to everybody, Zacharias and the Mary and Joseph. There's no need to be afraid. The angel said, verse 10, fear not. Why? For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. It will be for all the people. We'll highlight that word, the, in just a second. So he says, you don't need to be afraid. I'm not here to frighten you. I'm not here to scare you. I'm not here to zap you. I'm not here to take you into my spaceship. I'm not here to do anything like that. I am here to give you some good news. It's our Greek word gospel. I'm here to give you euangelizo, gospel. I am giving you the gospel of good news. And not only is it good news, it is good news of megas joy, great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. I mean, great joy. It's where you actually get excited a little bit and you get a little bit thrilled and we lose our Baptist ways. And we get a little bit, wow, and hear this bright light and this angel is telling them, you don't have to be afraid. I'm here to tell you good news of megas, joy. In fact, again, the word joy in the Greek is kara, which is the word grace. I am giving to you, who are viewed as the lowliest of the low, I am giving you news of great grace. Grace. God is giving you something you don't deserve. God is giving you something you could never earn. And I know the rest of the world views you as trash, but God does not, and His news is for you. Ooh, that's good news. And notice it says in verse 10, for all the people. It's a definite article in the Greek, for all the people. The gospel comes to the people. And who are the people here? The Jews. In fact, remember Romans 1:16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. You remember how it works. God brought the gospel news to the Jews. They rejected it. They killed him. And now it was opened up to the Gentiles, and now it's for everybody. And so it is given to the Jewish people first. And the reason it's good news is because of what that babe in the manger is going to do. The babe in the manger saved nobody. Jesus came to die, to be buried, to rise again, to ascend to the Father, and to return back for His church. And so that's why it's good news. It is looking forward to the sacrificial death of God's King, of God's Savior. But notice how personal this is. Unto you. Unto you. I'm not just telling you, the angel said, a bunch of facts. I'm not just giving you a bunch of facts about an event so you can know some history that's being recorded here. This is something that's directed right to you. For unto you is born this day, verse 11, in the city of David a Savior, who is Christos, the Adonai, the Lord. Christ, the Lord. Wow, isn't that amazing? You remember that feeling on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve when all those presents are under the tree and you're just hoping your name's on one of them? And you know, and they give one to Bobby and they give one to Susie and they give one to Jack and even the dog gets one, you know, and the cat gets to open one. And you're thinking, well, where's my gift? Suddenly, somebody says, Tim, yep, that's me. Somebody thought of me, and I got a 5-gallon bucket of M&Ms, you know. Wow, what a gift. You know, I remember about 10 years ago, there was a lady in our church that, a church that passed away. And I got word from a lawyer, no, she wasn't suing me, that she had put me in her will. Now, I wasn't a millionaire instantly, and it wasn't a huge, huge, huge amount, but what meant more to me was the fact that, wow, I was blown away that she thought of me and put me in her will to get a portion of what was belonged to her. What a blessing. I had no idea that I had touched her in that way, and it was so special for it to be unto me. When I graduated college, I sent a graduation announcement. You know, you order your graduation announcement, and they look so cool. Ours had red embossing on there. You know, they raised up the letters, and your college symbol. I sent a graduation announcement inviting President Ronald Reagan to my graduation. I said, why not? So I did it. I actually mailed it to him. Really, the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, wouldn't that be something? Air Force One lands at the airport, and they escort Ronald Reagan. I did get a letter back. he couldn't make it. But it was a cool letter. Congratulations on your achievement. But and I can't remember if it was in third person or if it was actually probably from the president. It was a form letter. And I'm unable to make it. However he said it. But congratulations for a job well done. Well, who am I compared to the president, right? Now, if I would have been like the vice president's son, he might have come, or maybe if I'd have been some other political power. But I'm just little Tim Nobody at a little college in Florida, you know, that. But do you see what I'm getting at here? God thought so much of the lowest of the low. What do we do in our society? We lift up the highest of the high, don't we? We lift them up. They're the ones we look to and want to be like and emulate and want to dress like. And the lowest of the low we want nothing to do with. And God says, I'm not sending my birth announcement to Ronald Reagan, president of the greatest, biggest, most powerful nation in the world. I'm sending it to these low guys. You know what that means? That means he sent it to you also. Because I'm looking out at you, y'all are pretty low. Right? It's all of us, right? And then verse 11, see, we read verse, yeah. We get reminded again, it's in David's city. Jesus, the tribe of Judah, Davidic line, had to be the king. It's amazing how these angels knew Scripture as they delivered it from God the Father. What an amazing thing. The Messiah is here in human flesh. He's here today. He's here right now. And he is here in the city of David. He's down in Bethlehem. Now, what would you be thinking if some bright angel told you that? And all of a sudden, it's as bright as can be, and you can see even a grasshopper on the ground. It's so bright. And it's the middle of the night or early, early morning. Now, I think the angel anticipated that these shepherds were going to go check it out. Look at verse 12. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby at Jerusalem Deaconess Hospital, in the finest room, the finest suite that there is. Wait a minute. A little speck on my glasses there. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a feeding trough, a manger. He is letting them know what to look for. Apparently, other babies were born that night. I tried to look up how many babies were born in Columbia, Missouri on April 24th, 1961. I researched and researched and could never find any database that would tell me who was in the little room with me laying in a bed. And I think that'd be kind of cool to know, wouldn't it? It'd be cool to have like a reunion. All the people born on your town in your hospital get together. Gosh, we were laying next to each other and we didn't even know it. We were babies, you know. But I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it anywhere. But apparently there were other babies born that night. So the angel says, listen, pass that baby, pass that baby, pass that baby. When you see something unusual and weird, and when you see this little baby in a feeding trough, in a stall or a cave, that's the one. And he'll be wrapped around with cloths. That's the baby. Isn't it amazing when Herod asked the religious leaders that same question, where is Jesus to be born? And they said, Bethlehem Ephratah. And they quoted Micah 5:2 perfectly. It doesn't say that one of them went and checked it out. But these guys, the lowest of the low, are going to check it out. A humble birth revealed to humble people, but humble hearts seek the Lord. We'll look at verse 13 and 14 if we work our way through this. The shepherds haven't seen anything yet. And suddenly, there's that word again. Paul used that same word when God met him and that bright light shone to him and he was converted. Suddenly, out of the blue, there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying. So that song that Abby requested today, it was her fault, you can blame her, that I played, depicted this. Now picture yourself, this big, bad, rough, and tough shepherds. You're already scared because there's this one bright angel in front of you and everything's bright and suddenly, and I picture these angels kind of hovering up. Don't know for sure, but, and how much, there's a multitude. Oh my goodness, I picture thousands. Thousands. Can you imagine what that would have sounded like? Now, more than likely, they said this rather than sang it, but we're going to, it's a poem, it's a verse, so we're going to sing it, say they sang it. All of a sudden, it's as bright as can be, and all kinds of angels are around. And they said, verse 14, or sang, glory to God in the highest, and down here on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, this is a song written from heaven. This is actually a song. If anybody says, do you know any songs written from heaven? You can say, I sure do. There's a bunch of them, but here's one of them. Glory to God in the highest. There is no one higher than the one that sent this Jesus. No one higher. He is the highest. But notice the span. The highest all the way down to the lowest here on earth. And the angels say to you, be glory to God, because there was no one higher and no one deserves glory. Just like in Mary's song, she didn't want to win an album award. She didn't want to win a trophy. She didn't want to have the best song of the year. She said, my praise goes to God, my Savior. That's the angel's heart. Glory to God in the highest. But notice this, and on earth, peace. The greeting cards get this wrong. The actual Greek is how it's written here in the ESV. And on earth, peace among those with whom God is pleased, with whom he is pleased. The only people that get peace are those for whom God chooses to put his favor upon. And it's that doctrine of election. It's that doctrine of choosing. That's the Greek. You know, Rome, who was power in power back then, had something they called the Pax Romana. And that was peace. They claim that peace comes from the Roman government. But how did they gain peace? By killing other people, subduing other nations, by enslaving other people, and by running those nations, even if they allowed them to continue to keep some of their customs. So they said, peace. And people praise Rome. Rome has brought us great peace. But one scholar who lived during this time, philosopher rather, said this, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of the heart, for which man yearns more than even for outward peace. Isn't that true? And people are always searching for peace, aren't they? Always searching for peace, but usually in the wrong places. Usually in something temporary. And if you just look out in your world, our world is a world full of people who are uneasy. They are worriers. They have no security. Fear grips their heart. And God says to these lowly shepherds, through his servants, the angels, God gives the inner peace that you need. In a world where death is chasing us and will catch us, Connor and I see death every day, almost every week. The grave, Proverbs says, is never satisfied. The grave is always hungry. The grave wants more. Death is chasing us and it will catch us. In a world where we have no way to get to God on our own, in a world full of turmoil, upheaval, sin, evil, oppression, and uncertainty, and a world that's going batty every minute we live. People are always searching to be able to have peace. To be able to just to know, I'm right with God. My God's in control. I can go to bed at night, lay my head on my pillow, and go to sleep. I can go into that job where there might be some uncertainty and I can trust my God. I can get a sickness like cancer where death may be knocking on my door even earlier than I expected. And I know that I can have a deep abiding peace like Jan had. Because I know, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, whom was sent in that manger, died on the cross for my sin, and my hope is in him. That's peace. Paul put it this way, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid, because I have a peace that only I can give. And that angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. There's that election again. It's only for those whom he is pleased. And you might be here today and say, well, how do I know if he's pleased with me? Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. We've read this in Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Peace was born in a manger that night and given to those for whom God is pleased. Right, that was the real long point. Now quickly the last ones. The birth announcement is realized. We'll try to speed this along a little bit. So the shepherds do just what the angel thought. Verse 15 and 16. Just as quickly as the angels came, poof, they disappeared. So the shepherds looked at each other and said, hey, why don't we go to Bethlehem? Now, how would you like to have been the guy that pulled the short straw and had to stay and watch the sheep? That's what I picture him doing. Hey, you got some straw? They're all pulling. Ah, Bazooka had to stay, whatever his name was. Somebody had to stay. So the rest of them take off to Bethlehem. It wasn't far. And so they decide to go. Isn't that amazing? This is a no-brainer. I mean, the religious leaders were dull and lazy and probably had a ball game to watch, and they didn't have time to at least send one guy. Jehoshabed. Go down there and see if anything is going on in Bethlehem. No, they had to get back and see if their bet played out. They won money. No, there wasn't football back then. But I think the shepherds were thinking, Jesus is here, the King is here, the Creator is here, the Savior is here, the Lord is here. This is a no-brainer. Let's go. Let's take off. Let's go check it out. And they didn't go to see if it was true. They went to see what they had already believed happened. And look at verse 16, and they went with haste. That means they went in a hurry. You ever go someplace in a hurry? Yeah, I've seen some of you drive. Yeah, I picture them running. All godly people are runners. The Bible teaches that. And I think they were running. What was that like when they finally, no, it ain't that baby, it ain't that baby. No, that baby's too ugly. It can't be that baby. What's that over there? And they see the cave or the stall, and what that must have been like first glance upon Mary and Joseph and the baby. It doesn't tell us if they went up and spoke to them. Hey, guys, Mom, Dad, you're not going to believe this. We were up there on the hillside watching the sheep, and it got real bright. I mean, sometimes I wish the Bible told us more, but again, I've said this 1,000 times, our Bible would be this big, and we have trouble reading what we got now. But wouldn't it be, I have a hard time believing that they just went up there and said, shh. I think they walked up there and said, wow, and maybe knelt down and worshiped, and maybe they talked. We just don't. But they did go and see what that must have been like. Next, the birth announcement recited. Now, I had to stick with the letter R, right? So they repeated it. So they go, and then they tell. Verses 16 to 19. They went with haste again and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. So they recited it. They knew it. They saw it, and they recited what they had seen. They'd go and tell. The word simply means to declare what you have seen. And look at verse 18. They told many because all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Wouldn't that have been bizarre? Hey, whatever you're doing, come here, I got something to tell you. These angels came and it got bright. We went down there and the baby was there. They just told everybody they could find. They wondered. The Greek word's thaumazo, which means to be amazed and astonished. I'm sure not everyone believed, but boy, they caused a stir. They caused a stir. But it wasn't the shepherd's job to make people believe. It was just their job to tell. I think many times that's where I make my mistake. I think I have to make people, you can't make anybody believe. Our job is just to tell what we've been told. In fact, in Acts 17, after Paul preached, there were three responses. One, some mocked. Two, some said, "We'll listen again." Three, some believed. That's usually the response every time. I'm sure the shepherds experienced that. Some mocked. You got a bright light? I didn't see any bright light. I'm sure some went, "Whoa. We maybe need to talk more about this." And I'm sure some who knew the scriptures just believed and God opened their heart. But before we wrap it up, and we get one real quick last point. Luke throws Mary in here again. See that? Verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I believe the Greek word for treasure is thesaurus. You ever have a thesaurus? A treasury of words. She's taken all of the truth she's been taught, all that she's experienced, and she's putting them in her heart, and she's thinking about it. She's pondering it. She's trying to figure it all out. I like that. You know what it lets us know? Mary's real. We just picture some of these Bible characters of knowing everything. They're living it. They didn't have the privilege we have of knowing all the scriptures, and the New Testament hadn't been written yet. She kept them in her mind. She's pondering. Sumbalo means to throw together. She's taken all these truths and she's throwing them together. An angel came to me, an angel to Joseph, and I didn't know a man. I was pregnant, and shepherds came, and they tell. She's taking it all, and she's just trying to figure it out. I like that. I think that's neat. And then the last point, real quick, the birth announcement revered. I had to stick with the R's, right? Revered means to regard with respect and awe. Look at what these rough and tough shepherds did. They returned, verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen as it had been told them. And I've shared this before. I've seen some big, strong, rugged men stand by caskets weeping like babies. God can break any heart. I want to say tugged, but that ain't a word. Rugged, rough, tough. And I think these guys, who were probably the roughest of the roughest, and I got a feeling they smelt like sheep too, you know. I mean, I think they're singing and praising God. Maybe they're making up their own songs. Maybe they're saying, "I wish Pastor Tim was here to play that horn, man." And they're in awe, and they're just worshiping God for sending His Son and celebrating. Three quick applications. Number one, He is God's Savior to you. He's God's Savior to you. I bring you good tidings of great joy. There is no other Savior. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. He is the one through His death and resurrection brings us peace with God. And if you reject this, He is not God's Savior to you. You do not have His favor. No one gets forgiveness with a group ticket. He's God's Savior to you. Secondly, He is God's Savior to the world. What did the shepherds do? They went and told. Why? Because He is God's Savior to the world. This is great joy for all the people. It's just not us four and no more. It's us, the rich, the poor, the beautiful, the ugly, the talented, the untalented, the gifted, the ungifted, the tall, the short, the bald, the hairy, whatever you are. It's for you, popular, unpopular. Great joy for all the people. Romans says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how will they hear unless they are sent, unless they preach? He is God's Savior to the world. That's why we spend time in the Scriptures. And don't try to just put on a show. He is our only hope. And the last application, He is God's Savior always. Always. They went back to their jobs, to their lives, singing and praising God, watching the sheep, knowing, and I'm sure observing. I've often wondered how many who did get to observe the manger scene were actually there when they killed Him. But there were some. Mary, obviously. He's God's Savior always. He never ends. He is God's Savior always because He did what He came to do. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended to the Father. He's always the Savior. Someone said this, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Father, thank You for sending Your birth announcement to the lowest of the low, for assuring us that You also are a shepherd, but You are the highest of the high, yet You humbled Yourself to come to the lowest of the low. And Lord, that's all of us. All have sinned and come short of Your glory. Thank You for sending a Savior, for giving us peace and giving us hope. And Lord, give us a heart to share this truth with others. Give us open doors to share the gospel. To never try to make somebody believe, but just to share what we have been told and what we've seen and heard. Thank You again, God, for the greatest gift ever, Your Son. We pray this by faith in Christ's name. Amen.